Hi everyone, and welcome to Sped Homeschool Conversations. This is a weekly broadcast that we do. It's sponsored, put on by Sped Homeschool. And our sponsor tonight is Therapy Materials Vault, and we'll hear more about them later. But I just want you to know that their website is therapymaterialsvault.com, and they have a special code that you can get 25% off your entire purchase. And so we'll hear some more from them halfway through. But this month on our broadcast, as every month we have a theme, every July we focus on what we call SPED Homeschool Appreciation. We share stories from our community on how people are uniquely homeschooling special education. And tonight is a rather unique approach to homeschooling, because Amy's gonna share with us how she homeschools as an administrator versus a teacher, which I wish I had thought of. So welcome, Amy. I'm glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Peggy.
Yeah, so in every state you can't do this. I will start with that disclaimer. In some states, parents have to actually do the instruction or handle it that way. But what you have to share is applicable in many states, and so that I hope it's an encouragement for many parents who are like you and me, who say, a teacher? I barely did well as a parent. And by God's grace, my kids have turned out the way they have.
I understand you.
I'd like you to maybe start off with, was homeschooling always a choice of yours? Or something that you even maybe vaguely said in the back of your mind is, this may be something that we might do, or was it completely off the radar?
I have no recollection of it being on the radar.
Okay.
Homeschooling was for super moms, and I didn't think that, you know, I don't classify myself as a super mom. So no, I respected it. I had some friends who were homeschooling, and I thought they were amazing, but I was actually kind of tricked into it.
I think most of us are. And so I think a lot of people will probably relate to that. It's
okay.
Like it creeps up on you, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. I didn't actually realize that, oh, wait, this is actually homeschooling.
Yeah. So did you kind of ease into it then?
Yes. We started when my son was three. And we were working with an organization that made a custom therapy program. And so, So he was in a program at the public school. And actually this is how we got into homeschooling. Yeah, so he was in this program at public school, and we had gone for his evaluation with this organization. And, you know, I was just talking with Lynn, his evaluator, saying, you know, he just kind of gets these little sniffles, and some days he feels warm. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, an hour later, he's fine. And she said, well, you know, when kids first start going to public school, they haven't built up their immunity, and they have that first year of colds and sniffles. And her children were homeschooled, and they experienced that, I think, maybe in ninth grade when they entered public school. And the point Lynn was making was, if we're dealing with some speech issues and some auditory processing issues, if he has fluid on his ears, that is not going to help him to, you know, to be dealing with that at this early stage where we're working on speech development. And she said,
that's a very good point.
And I'm just thinking to myself, but those 3 hours in the day to myself.
Exactly.
And she's like, just think of it for a season. And she tricked me. That is how I started homeschooling. So I started doing the program myself. I pulled him out of school. Like, I mean, he didn't go back after that. It was just, and it wasn't, you know, I thought we'd be back. Oh, I didn't know what a season was. I thought 3 months. I don't know. We'll see. We'll win it.
Maybe the season will end at graduation.
I think Lena's back there going, whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
I was tricked. And I'm okay with that.
because it worked out well. I see that there's we have viewers, and if you're watching and you have comments or questions for us, definitely put those in the feed. We can see them, we can share them. We want you to be part of this. This is why we go live and not why we pre-record this. And so if you are watching live, feel free to be part of this conversation. And so, so considering the title of this broadcast being, you know, homeschooling as an administrator versus a teacher and all of that, it's how did that concept take shape? And I first want to say hi to Lynn, who's joining us.
Hey, Lynn. We were just talking about you.
So she's the evil one.
Yeah, Lynn, you're the one that tricked me into homeschooling. Actually, it took shape with Lynn because in our second evaluation, I was just almost in tears. And sorry, that was my phone ringing on my computer. I was almost in tears. And Lynn said to me, you know, you don't have to do it all yourself. And as moms, we, you know, sometimes we need someone else to tell us that.
Yes.
And so I started working to, I'm just searching for help. Mm-hmm. And lots of footwork and complete just dead ends.
Wow. Yeah.
Not getting anywhere. And it's actually an interesting story how everything kind of broke open. I'm going to try to shorten the story, but
it's okay. We'd love to hear it because I think a lot of parents do. They search for help and they feel like I'm the only one who can't find help. And so I think it would be encouraging.
Well, I had been putting out lots of leads and searching. I was looking for whether junior high or high school students or college students.
Right.
I remember calling the College of Education and they're telling me they don't need anybody or there's no need for girls to kind of do what I was proposing. Mm-hmm. As far as working with my son, which later I've had students come and do that. I've signed off for their hours, but that mm-hmm. was the answer I got. So the morning that some things kind of came together and one of the emails I sent out just broke wide open, and this particular week I was just flooded with
wow.
girls wanting to volunteer. And so I'm cleaning my house that morning and kind of going through the silent complaint of like, it's my birthday today. And gosh, wouldn't it have been nice to have like lunch with friends like I used to do, you know, three kids. And here I am cleaning the house. This is so glamorous in my pajamas. And the thought came to me, remember the birthday gift you had asked me for. And I had had a friend who had asked God for a birthday gift years ago, and he told his story. And just the month before, I had just randomly like, oh yeah, let's ask God for a birthday gift. Mm-hmm. I had nothing in mind. And that I wanted 5 girls and I got 15.
Wow.
And it has renewed semester after semester after semester. We started just after spring break. And at the end of spring break, I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, there goes the help. It's summer. And they're like, oh, you know, well, I can post for you. I can talk to my friends. And there is this thing called summer school. And I wouldn't stay in town for that. It's just renewed itself each semester, and it's been this huge blessing. So
as far as what these girls do in your homeschool, what sort of things do they do to facilitate homeschooling? Do they teach different classes or do therapies or kind of a mix of both? Or how do you delegate?
You know, it's a mix, and we have some things called special sessions too, which might focus on a unit study or cooking or soccer. You know, we have a girl on the soccer team, so I'm like, yes, I'm going to be using her to teach my kids some soccer skills.
Yes.
So that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of work with what giftedness the girls have,
right,
and apply it to things that Gabe is interested in. Mm-hmm. And so the organization I work with, NACD, that's National Association of Child Development. So they write a program specific to my son. And mm-hmm. so there's a listing of several exercises. And we have usually about 3 or 4 sessions a day.
Okay.
And so it might include really short mental processing exercises that are like 1 or 2 minutes. And then there'll be reading and math and unit studies and, you know, news and current events and just kind of a wide variety of things. And then there's some physical exercises where we might, you know, be working on strengthening or, you know, when we, when he was younger, we were working on developing macular vision. So, and a lot of these things I don't completely understand. I mean, I know why we're doing the exercises, but I am not like an OT. I am not a speech therapist. And it is so comforting to me to be working with experts who can handle that. You know, they understand the details and they understand my child and they've been with my child for, you know, for a long time. So, so I feel like somebody's got my back.
Right. And that's, helpful. The NACD, then do they evaluate your student and then develop the plan for that? And then how often does that, do those reevaluations happen?
We do a reevaluation 3 times a year, which is perfect because, you know, my team is made of college students and they have 3 semesters a year and it kind of coincides.
Yes, it does.
So that's nice. That's not essential, but yeah, they reevaluate every 3 months, but also, you know, I may talk to Lynn and I have a coach, Jennifer, that I work with too. So I may talk to them if I've got questions or issues in the interim.
Right. You know. So then as far as what they provide you, they give you the whole script of everything or just kind of a shell and then you kind of fill in with different curriculums and other materials.
I would certainly say it's more than a shell. You know, they provide instruction, whether it's written or a video, on how to do certain exercises. But then there's certain things like, you know, they might say, okay, you know, it's time to start working on history. And they'll guide me with like, here's a couple books that have worked well, some different things. But I would think of it more as an eclectic method, you know, where the parent is pulling things together instead of, say, like an out of the box curriculum.
Right. You know, so you don't have a script that gets followed by all the different people that are working on your team so that they do parts of it.
I would say the team kind of has a script. You know, I mean, I have like a checklist. It's actually a spreadsheet, but they'll go through and mark, you know, note they have a prescription of what they're supposed to do. They can change the order of things. They can add a creative spin. They can take it out in the yard and throw water balloons if they want to, you know, something to make it fun. But yeah, there is a script. And I think that's the girls who, I've had many girls retire from my program and go on to like OT school and stuff. And they've told me that it's kind of, this program has been a good stepping stone because there's a bit of a script more than say when they're working as maybe a behavior tech. But yet, you know, they're still, it's like training wheels for them.
Right. Yep. So. And plus they have you to come back to. So, so how do you manage this team of yours?
That's a big question. It's, well, first off, I have girls who volunteer to support me administratively. And they've really, I've just seen over the years, I think I've been better at training and working with them and I'm seeing them step up to higher and higher levels. So they actually help with the details too. I have a girl who does, we have a newsletter, Weekly Notes for Mom, that comes out every week. And I mean, she handles that. She handles like reviewing, the feedback that we get from the team. It's on a shared spreadsheet so they can look at it. And she kind of looks and says, okay, I think we need to move up on this and this, but we might need to stay on this. And usually I go with her recommendations, but I'm also talking to the girls after each session, most sessions. And so, you know, I give input into that as well, but they help me quite a bit as well. And I don't know if you've got specifics on how I manage my team. I don't know if that's answering your question, but.
So you do check-ins. And then you've got a spreadsheet or someplace where you kind of manage all the input and all of that. And then you have a team meeting because
Yes. Yeah, we actually, we started doing team meetings when COVID hit because we moved to a virtual delivery of therapy for a while.
Ah, yes.
And so we've come back. We're in-house now. for the most part, but we've had to go virtual at different times. You know, if somebody was exposed to COVID, it's like, okay, everybody underground. Yeah, we did. So we did the weekly meetings, and I'm trying to cut back. You know, at the beginning of the semester, when we've got a lot of rookies on the team, we want to meet because the veterans, I have the veterans also train the rookies. I train them as well. Mm-hmm. And then Lynn has watched videos, you know, we'll upload videos of them doing their work. So she can kind of speak in to different things, but I'm getting better at, you know, knowing like, okay, this isn't, you know, this isn't working. Here's how we need to tweak this, but it's always good to have Lynn looking at that. So those are just some ways that, you know, we connect with the team and we'll do occasional team events, which they really love.
Awesome.
When I first started this, I was really concerned about, you know, they're busy. They're really good. Right. The feedback I kept getting at the end of each semester was, I love the team events.
Mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good.
I just want community. So, and you're providing that for them as well as your
Yeah. And I think they like that because there's nobody else in their world who does what they do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, you know, the college students that are seeking experience for PA, PT, OT, med school, they're shadowing, or they might be a scribe, but they're not actually
right,
getting.
They don't get the hands-on. Yes.
Mm-mm, they don't. And the thing is, they walk away with just, wow, I can run my own therapy session.
Mm.
They may not know what to prescribe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what to prescribe. I'm not going to pretend to know what to prescribe. But they do know at least how to keep a child's attention and make it mm-hmm. fun and engaging. And they also know how to enforce discipline, which
right.
can be really intimidating for them at first mm-hmm. because, you know, they're going to go into careers where they're working with a child and they need to get that child to cooperate. So now you can use some positive motivation. I allow them my son does jumping jacks, you know, mm-hmm. Or just kind of some of the small stuff, you know, so they enforce discipline and they know that they learn that, you know, they've got to do that. They absolutely have to do that.
Right. Yeah. You can't let kids walk over you. And a lot of teenagers do. I know when we had caretakers at my parents' house with my adopted siblings, we'd always kind of laugh when they first started because the kids would just walk all over them and like, man, they'll learn.
Yep. Yes, I make it a point right at the beginning. Like, it's so much easier to kind of dial it back than it is to kind of start soft and then, you know,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and then learn.
So you brought up the issue, and I think this is going to be everybody's issue now with what's going on in the world, is that mm-hmm. when you bring people into your home, you have COVID.
Right.
And how do you deal with, and especially that they say that the teenagers, the college age students are taking less precautions. So if you're hiring these types of people to come in and do your therapy, how do you manage that and their exposure? Because
yeah.
I know you've dealt with that.
Oh yeah, I certainly have. And you know, I certainly can't control what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I fully acknowledge that. I mean, they're free to live their lives. I've got a great group of girls and I think they're sensible. But a couple precautions we take, you know, we have them wear masks in the home just because it just reduces the factor, you know, mm-hmm. so much. And I think that helps. We did have a couple girls who got COVID and, you know, they're fine. They're back, you know. We've been very forthright on the team. Like if there's been an exposure, you know, I'll just, you know, we just let the whole team know this is just part of it. We go get tested.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a factor, but one thing that's helpful is being able to do things virtually. And it is not my favorite way to deliver therapy. And I would not want to do that forever. It's so much more engaging to be one-on-one, but it does, you know, it does provide some consistency, you
mm-hmm.
know. When I was trying to do this myself, I was not getting as many sessions done as I would like, and I was kicking myself for it. And so now, you know, that's not happening.
Yeah.
So,
you got new blood coming all the time.
Right. And, The other thing too, with the whole COVID thing, what's tough is just kids want interaction. And so we've had some of our friends who want to do play dates and they can. And then we've got some who need to isolate because they might have an elderly grandparent, you know, and I totally respect that. I understand that. And so we've even done virtual play dates. When this thing first started, we had some of our girls kind of just facilitating a virtual play date because kids aren't playing virtually. I mean, they don't need WebEx for the most part. And so you know, things like online, I don't know, Jeopardy or like, you know, bingo or different games like that. And then they also just like talk, you know. Now they're down with just the virtual chit chat. We do that just to provide some connection, you know.
Yeah, it's good to have a little programming to kick that off. It's especially it's a new environment to interact in. So we had a comment from one of our YouTube viewers, and if you don't know, we actually broadcast on YouTube, Facebook, and Periscope all at the same time. So, but she asked, "Hello, I'm new here. So is this program something you created, and how do you get involved in this? Did they come into your home for homeschool? Do your children also get private therapies from graduates?" So do you want me to share your website?
Have them share my website, because that's actually something where I would like to help parents understand what I do and to kind of create this for themselves. I mean, I've been tweaking this over almost 6 years now. So so maybe I can help them. But yes, they come into my home. The students come into my home. The students, as far as, just to be clear, the students that are helping my student, my son. What was her other question? I can't remember. Was it something I created?
Is this a program that you created, and how did you get involved in this?
Okay, yes. Okay, credit where credit is due. Yes. Help from God in recruiting. I certainly worked hard, but it all broke open. If you missed the start of this, Lunch Lady, I see your quote, your comment there. Just listen to the replay at the beginning of the story on all this. And then NACD, the National Association of Child Development, they actually create kind of the therapy prescription. I don't do that. But yes, as far as the program with the volunteers, I did, yes, create that.
And so you live in a college town.
Yes, I do.
And so, but a lot of us live near, you know, community colleges, other things. What are they, how do they see what you do as a benefit, and why are they continuing to work with you, at least, you know, from your perspective of what you've seen?
Why are the students continuing to work with
me? You said the school gives them some sort of hours.
You know, I don't have like any kind of formal relationship with the school.
Okay.
Not at all. We've had girls who were SPED majors. And so they have a form that needs to be filled out where you sign off on their hours, where they actually had hands-on experience. So that's what I was referring to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And just speaking to that issue of living in a college town, because I've thought about this, like for people who don't, you know, there are other places to find volunteers, and I plan on maybe creating some content about that. But
that'd be great.
But like you said, community colleges, I mean, I'm from a hometown of like 10,000 people, but I think they have a CNA, I think that's Certified Nursing Assistant program, and they probably need hands-on hours. There's a branch of a state college in that town. There's, I think, a technical school. So, you know, any place that there's healthcare, which is pretty much everywhere, is going to need someone. And, you know, I've thought also, too, that retirees are another group. You have to watch out, especially with COVID, about protecting them. But, you know, even with a cheap laptop or a tablet or something that you can provide to that person, there are retired school teachers who would be like, yes, I am in the retirement village. They will not let me out. And I would love, love, love to read to your child, even if it were simple. Because I will say this, on this kind of program, if you're a mama considering it, you know, start simple. I didn't,
that's great advice.
I didn't go gangbusters, you know, overnight. I didn't know what I was doing, but, you know, start simple with just like, you know, reading once a day. If that's all that you can organize at the moment, you can start adding things, but there are people who want to help, and the college students absolutely love the experience. I actually have more applicants than I can take. Usually they try out and I usually have to turn a couple away. So.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big leap from, you know, not finding anybody and to where you are now. And I know I've talked to other, somebody I interviewed a while ago, they were talking about just, you know, a neighbor across the street that was elderly, and she kept asking, is there anything I could do? And so, yeah, even just reading or listening to your student read. And now, yeah, like, I think that that's a good point that you made about setting up seniors with technology so that they can have that ability to do that, because they may not have the technology, but if you have the ability to get a used laptop or some way for them to get connected, that would be beneficial to both you and them.
Yeah. I mean, you could spend $150 on a laptop or far less on a tablet and be set up. And just as a technical note, TeamViewer is an app that we use to fix my mom's computer remotely. So if you're going down that route, you know, there's ways that you can fix it and kind of control the device remotely.
If that is a good thing to know.
If the retiree is like, where am I?
Right, exactly. Yes, instead of going, what exactly are you talking about? Because, yeah, you can be talking about an application, you can be talking about the actual hardware, and, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah, they don't know. But I'll tell you what, like, these old people can really rock some technology, though. My husband's grandmother is, you know, she's got her tablet and she can use that thing. So,
wow, that's, you know, great.
they're up to it. They can do it.
Yep, exactly. It's just the motivation. They've got something to do on the other end.
Yeah.
Just like any of us. That's the
right.
Same
well,
thing.
You put a fun live wire, you put a kid on the other end, and they will be all about that.
That's awesome. Well, I'm going to give Amy a break, and we're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll bring her back and continue this discussion. So, but I want to thank the Therapy Materials Vault. This is their logo, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about them and also how you can get a deal. I'm going to put up their information here, too. So, let's see where I put that. Okay. So as a parent, we all know how challenging it can be to find quality, affordable homeschool materials that your child will love. Therapy Materials Vault is dedicated to offering activities that are fun and effective for every learner, all without breaking the bank. They're very reasonable. Their team of writers, graphic designers, and experienced therapists create incredible materials that we're excited to share with you. Visit materialsvault.com to browse hundreds of resources. Use the code, like on the bottom of the screen, SPED25, and at checkout, you will get 25% off your entire order. So that's an awesome deal from them that they're providing our community. And those of you that watch or listen to on our podcast, SPED Homeschool Conversations. And so thank you, Therapy Materials Vault, for being a sponsor of this episode. Thank you all of you that support our nonprofit. We are a 501c3, so all donations that are made to us are tax deductible. And so your support makes these broadcasts happen, our website happen, and everything else that we do. So thank you. And I'm going to bring Amy back here. I'm going to put this down. Here we go. There we are. Give you a little break. Hi.
<Yeah. laughs>
I'm going to take a look at my questions and see how much we got.
Sure.
Here. All right. So, is there anything that you want to talk about that's kind of on the top of your head before we get started? Otherwise, I'll...
No, go ahead with your questions. And
okay.
If there's something that comes to mind, yeah, I'll speak up.
Okay. So, you know, when you're working with your volunteers, where do, you know, they're college students and they're probably receiving some sort of training in school, but how much training do you do on your end?
maybe, now there's extensive training, but how much do I personally do? Maybe not as much as you would think. What I do is more informal. We do, you know, we do a training kickoff before I choose the team. And then we have a few weeks where they're trying out. And I have them pair with veterans to train. So they're working side by side and they have to go through a few sessions, you know, doing it. And then they do a solo with Mama Stokes. So, then it's go time. And, you know, then I make my choice. And we also have another team event where we'll go through as a group through the exercises. And I just got this amazing group of women, and the veterans will speak up into issues and talk about circumstances that they've encountered and just share real life stuff. So it's kind of a community thing.
Right.
And that's great. And then, you know, NACD provides videos or, you know, a PDF file on how to do the exercise. And mm-hmm. and I have a handbook, and it's long. It's actually way too long, but cut that thing down. But I tell the girls that, you know, the videos and the PDFs from NACD are how to do the exercise, but my handbook talks about how it works with my son and how things work in my home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're taking my son off site at times. He may go on a bike ride and get some exercise, or they may go to the park down the street, you know, so they need to know how the gate latch works and all these silly little things. And so just over time, I've just compiled like all the questions. So they have access to that. And then just throughout the semester, we're, you know, tweaking and going over things. And we may change an exercise if it's not working, which I like. Okay. You know, we're not going to stick with something that's not not effective.
And so in that spreadsheet you were talking about in the previous half an hour, is that where you kind of keep all the information from them on what's working, what's not working, and then you kind of tweak and change from there?
The spreadsheet is pretty basic, but we do have a column just for comments, you know, where they can. It's kind of a free form, but we kind of have them give a score on how well they think they achieved the goal in the exercise. And I'm not super big on scores, but it conveys more information than a check mark.
Right.
So, you know, we get that. And then, you know, in our weekly or bi-weekly, tri-weekly meetings, we tri-weekly as in every 3 weeks, not three times a week.
All right.
we'll talk about what's working and what's not working.
Yeah.
So
I get assume there's some kind of problem solving stuff going on between the team as well, as, you know, they're not just looking to you for all the answers either.
Yeah. And if I don't have the answers, I just call Lynn or Jennifer, you know,
right. Pick up backup.
I like my backup.
Awesome. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense that, you know, it's as anybody who homeschools, you know, it's a fluid experience. That your student is constantly changing, and what you're teaching and what you're doing is constantly in flux, because you want to reach new goals and you want to teach new subjects, or, you know, cover another unit, like, you know, or a different topic. And there's going to be those ones that they really do well on and the things that they really struggle in. And that's when you either breeze through them or you make some stops and go, what we need to reevaluate.
Right.
So it's kind of that same concept, but with a team approach versus you just making all you having a party or a team discussion in your head.
Parent-teacher conference.
Right, exactly. It happens all the time in your homeschool.
Right.
So yeah, that's so if you have that, just you're pretty normal. So the lunch lady comment, she goes, very inspiring. I have two kids on the spectrum with apraxy of speech, 4 and 3. Had no idea things like this were possible. Thank you.
Oh wow. And at 4 and 3, lunch lady, I want to say to you that I'm glad to see that you're here while they're so young, because the brain is plastic, and that's what we're really taking advantage of in working on the processing and stuff. Because my son, I have one child, so I can't compare him. I've only raised one child, but you know, we had some challenges, and I'll say now he's doing really, really well. He's reading. He'll be going into fourth grade, but I think he's reading at like a 10th or 11th grade level. Reading comprehension, he's doing simple algebra and geometry. And what's even more awesome is like he's cracking some really funny jokes.
Oh.
And he can, you know, he can talk with you and ask you about your pets and you know, show kind of some interest and is just engaging and fun and interested in things, making movies, you know. it's just fun to see how
he's a boy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a boy. It's awesome. I didn't think boy humor was funny until I had my own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Peggy. I do. I have two adult boys, yes.
Yeah, because when I was in grade school, those boys, I was like, that's dumb.
But, yeah, right.
Yeah. But I think, of course, my kid's hysterical, so.
Yes, always. Yeah,
yeah, but the brain's plasticity is just really something to take advantage of while they're young. You know, time is on your side. And then again, it's never too late. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, the brain can rewire and shift development to one area. If one area of the brain is damaged, it can shift and grow in another area to compensate. And so that's, you know, those are the kinds of things that we're taking advantage of.
Yeah, and I can't remember who it was that I interviewed, but they said if you can help a child with a lot of their struggles before they hit that tween teenage, when they make their brain makes the shift of self-discovery, and that's when they start to blame what they can't do on themselves versus, oh, this is just part of my environment I can't control. And right. So the more that you can do to help them to find those accommodations and to realize that they are gifted and there are things they mm-hmm. can do in those younger years, you're going to actually boost their self-esteem and mm-hmm. help them to get past those hurdles that they may struggle with the rest of their life, but realize, you know what, I'm good at other things, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who of us are good at everything? You know,
it's exactly.
Not a thing.
it's not a thing.
Of course, because we're women, we think that we have to be good at everything, but for real, like, that's not happening.
Right. So what are some strategies that, in using this type of approach, that you have found most effective for you to make your day run well and your, you know, everything to kind of piece together the right ways? Are there some things that you do for yourself or in your setup or in your planning that kind of set things up more for success? Or what are the mistakes that you've made that you've realized that probably wasn't the best way to do it?
Oh, I you know, I've certainly made mistakes along the way. I can't think of anything that was like, that was just a total disaster.
You know? Well, that's good.
And part of it is with homeschooling, it's like, if I make a mistake, you know, you can just fix it and change it. It's not like it's a curriculum written in stone. It's like, okay, well, that didn't work. We're not going to do that again, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm struggling to think of something specific. As far as things making my day go well, oh, okay. Well, I didn't have anything, but now I do.
Okay.
okay. You know, this is actually, okay, I had to have a major surgery last year.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We were struggling with some life skills, and I was struggling with patience. Mm. Not that any other woman struggles with it at all, right? But I was struggling with patience, and I created a sunshine session, and that is from 7 to 9 in the morning. And one of my girls comes to the house. They get well, now we added an exercise element. So he'll go take a bike ride and start mm-hmm. his day with some exercise and come back and make an omelet and oatmeal for the family and for the girl. And then he'll take a shower, you know, and we give him some privacy there. But, mm-hmm. You know, at first we had to kind of teach, you know, some of the, like, you got to rinse all the shampoo out and,
right,
you know,
exactly.
all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that
yep.
kind of stuff. And, you know, that has just made all the difference, because mm-hmm. we've been doing this for almost a full year now. And I remember going to, like, getting ready for church one morning or something, and we were just running out of time, and I just had to say, all right, son, I need you to make eggs.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta take a shower. And I came back out and we had scrambled eggs. It wasn't a flipped omelet, but it was cooked, and
yeah.
I was happy. So that kind of thing was huge. And I used to just kick myself for not being very patient and slowing down and doing the life skills and hand over hand. I'm kind of just want to step in and do it myself. So I finally outsourced that. And that's when I realized, well, that whole process takes 2 hours a day.
Right.
That's a lot of time.
A lot of time.
And it's at that core part of your day where you're trying to get yourself going.
Right.
So that has been absolutely amazing. It's been the best thing I've added to my program in a long time. You know,
it's funny that you say that because Nate Jace, who was on last week, just said, I've got to take my mornings and schedule out, tell my kids, even if they're up, this is my time. I am exercising. This is, you know, what I'm doing. And you can find the cereal. You can, you know, do what you need to do to take care of your morning. But segmenting that time out for yourself, because if you start the day rushed and centered around your child, it really can snowball on you because, just the wrong perspective.
Well, if I lose my patience with my child, I just, right there, right in my heart, you know, and I do not want to start the day that way. So, that's made a big difference, you know, and I, you know, he'll come step out. I'm usually on the patio doing my quiet time in the morning and he'll step out and say hi, but then it's, you know, it's time for him to get going.
Right.
So that's my number one life hack for starting the day well. There's probably lots of other things that I can't think of, but that was a big one.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately for us, I mean, same thing for me, you know, it took a huge medical issue in my life to make my family realize mom doesn't do everything and shouldn't have to do everything. So everybody step it up. But I think those boundaries.
I think as women, we hit that point. A few gray hairs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay,
you know, done.
Yeah. And they maybe appreciate us a little bit more. We have to at least hope that. So, you know, as we talked to like the lunch lady and about her starting out with younger kids, you know, if parents were looking at starting a program similar to this, what would be your like first step approaches to kind of getting a handle on what they need? And then also, you know, just what they need to teach, but also what they need for resources and people and how big of a team that they would need to put together.
Yeah, it's that's going to vary so widely, you know, by the family. Again, I have one child. Sometimes you can homeschool more than one at a time. So that might actually decrease the need for as many team members as you would think. I like to have about 10 girls on the team. And sometimes in the summer, I may have fewer. I would rather have empty places than fill the spot with the wrong person. I would rather miss a session.
That's very good advice. Mm-hmm.
So feel free to, like, for me too, God has always provided. So there's those moments of like, oh my gosh, am I going to have enough people or something? But it's like, no, it's always just like, just right. That's hard to answer because again, it's going to depend on the family. But for me, 10 people has been a good number. It's manageable. I think you start getting beyond that and it's really hard to manage. I used to have way more where each girl did one session once a week. But the problem with that is that they don't get enough frequency to learn what they need to learn quickly enough. And so you're like half, three quarters to or through the semester before they're really getting their feet wet. So I just decided, you know, we just need a higher frequency and a smaller team. And that's been way better. And I really have an amazing team. I do.
That's awesome.
It's just, they're great. Yeah.
We got one more question.
Sure.
So the life skills, like what they refer to as ABA, I love the idea of morning me time. I try to get up for my boys. We do a morning walk to calm them down. I love the real talk here. Yeah, that's kind of what we're all about. So I have to let you know, too, that Amy is off and on with me and a whole bunch of other ladies when we do Mom's Night Out after this, and we talk about anything. So, So this is calm compared to some of our other discussions, but those are off camera.
Yeah, we're not going to record that.
No. So, so as far as like the life skills, does the NACD, it's not similar to ABA, or it's more neurodevelopmental type of approach? Yeah.
It is more neurodevelopmental. They are, what they're working on is the brain's plasticity and just rewiring the brain. If one, say the speech area is not working so well, we're just going to reroute speech and move it somewhere else. So we're working on like mental processing, doing a lot of sequencing, both forward and reverse and different things like that. And, you know, my understanding is that, and their approach is, we would much rather strengthen the brain, so to speak. I don't know if they would use those words, but strengthen the processing. Because with ABA, you're kind of getting a more of a trained response.
Right. And it's just a script.
Yeah, it's just a script. And they would much rather, instead of, you know, the child just sticking out their hand and saying, "Hi, I'm Bob, you know, good to meet you." They want them to process that, like, okay, here's a person. They actually look a little teary. Maybe I should ask them what's wrong, you know, and engage and build a relationship. And I think that's what God has created us for. I mean, that is, we want our kids to be smart, but gosh, it's so important that they connect with people. You know, I am really not as interested in if somebody's intelligent as if they are, you know.
It's that emotional IQ versus the typical.
Yeah, it is. I'm interested in more than that. And yes, I want them to be smart, but just, I saw where this program was really working. This was years ago. We had an event for the girls. We were roasting marshmallows and hot dogs at the fire pit on the patio. And, and my son looked over and said, "Well, Hey Kay, how's your cat?" And he knew the cat's name, you know, and he's just this little guy. And I'm just like, that's my kid, asking about something that's not dinosaurs, not his obsession, but something someone else is interested
somebody
in.
Somebody else's, yeah. They can get outside of their own interests and dive into other people's lives.
Yeah, it's not really ABA, you know. Now, I've had girls who have gone on to be a behavior tech, and they did feel like our program trained them well for what they did, because they're working with a set of exercises and having to keep the kid focused and engaged. So in that way, it's similar, but as far as maybe a methodology, not so much.
Right. Yeah, and that's, I would agree completely with kind of how you described that. It makes a lot of sense.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and there's quite a few different resources if you're not going to go through NACD. Dr. Jan Bedell, who is on the board of directors for SPED Homeschool, is a neurodevelopmentalist, and her Brain Sprints program, or Little Giant Steps, is kind of their, where they sell their materials through. But she just started Brain Sprints. They have a lot of materials that parents can use that are neurodevelopmental based.
I didn't know that Brain Sprints and Little Giant Steps were connected. I've seen Little Giant Steps. I've seen their website. So I know that there are some other people who do this too, which is great, because I think we need more of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think parents know that this kind of thing exists.
Right. It gets down to those, you know, if you've never looked at neurodevelopmental approaches, when we have those higher level diagnoses like ADHD and all those things, but it gets down to the lower level where you were talking about auditory processing, visual processing. It's kind of the connecting pieces that are blockages for these kids, and they come out higher level in these diagnoses. But if you can get down to like Amy's working with her team with her son, that's when you start seeing results across the board instead of in just one concentrated area. So it's exciting. I mean, I wish I would have known about it with my kids. I just barely met Jan when my middle son was kind of going through things, and his auditory processing was, I mean, I used her free test. And if you go to littlegiantsteps.com, they have a free auditory processing test you can take online.
Cool.
Yeah, it's right. The link is right on the main page. But But yeah, realized, oh, there's nothing going in there. And we're doing audiobooks. No wonder it's not working, you know?
Yeah.
But to have that insight and to be able to work with the team, that's why you're seeing the results you are, is because you're evaluating and you're working on those building blocks. That's awesome. So we got 10 minutes left, and I want to pull up your website again.
Sure, yeah.
And so what Amy's talking about is a very different approach to homeschooling than most homeschoolers take. But I know with a lot of parents who are going to be working from home, you know, and are considering homeschooling, this might be a much more viable choice for them, especially if they are more career management oriented, and they would love to manage a team. It's so it would seem so much easier than trying to teach their own student.
Yeah, as a kid, I played office. I did not play school. So, as far as temperament goes, yeah.
Yeah, so true. And so if you want to connect with Amy, her website is therapy hands at or yeah hands at home therapy.com. Yeah. And so if you're listening on the podcast, I hope I said that, hands at home therapy.com. And she just wants to mentor parents to help you to succeed in the same way, and to kind of learn just how uniquely, I guess, this can work out for you. Yeah, because like you said earlier, you know, it's not a cookie cutter thing. You know, this is going to depend
No.
on your students. It's going to depend on your home, your just the time that you have, and the resources you have around you in your community that you can pull from.
Right. Yeah, you really have to just kind of look around and be creative with it. But there are more options than you might initially think.
Right, and I liked how you said that. You know, trying to duplicate what you do is not the answer. It's looking uniquely at everything that you have around you, and that's the beauty of homeschooling is it's unique. But then it's also the struggle is I can't duplicate somebody else and make it look that way. So
Right.
that's sometimes the struggle as well. Yeah. So yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing. This
Yeah.
was such good
Oh, it's
information,
been,
and
yeah.
thank you for just all the wisdom that you had to bring in tonight and to share with our viewers.
It's my
Definitely.
pleasure.
Yeah. And
It
thank
is my
you.
pleasure.
Yeah. And thank you all for joining us live as well. We're going to wrap up this month of Sped Homeschool Appreciation Month next week. I'm interviewing Candace Duggar, Bully Broken and Redeemed, and she's going to share her homeschooling story and just a little bit about bullying. If you have kids that have been bullied in the public schools, and that may be a reason you're choosing to homeschool, even amidst all this COVID stuff, or your child still struggles, and she's going to share a lot about that and just the resources that she has, but also her homeschooling story. And we've labeled it "Unleashing Learning Freedom Through Homeschooling," and just how the freedom of homeschooling happens when you take it just the way your child needs it. And so join us again next week for that. And I do want to thank the Therapy Materials Vault for sponsoring this episode of Sped Homeschool Conversations. Again, use code SPED25, it's capital SPED25, on their website, and you'll get 25% off your entire purchase. And so thank you, Therapy Materials Vault, for that sponsorship. And thank you all of you for sponsoring, or not sponsoring, but supporting us at Sped Homeschool. We are a nonprofit again, and we're 501c3, so all your donations are tax deductible. And so thank you for that. And we have a good morning. So I think that was a good morning last week too. So on the other side of the world,
Okay.
as we're wrapping up our day, you're starting your next day. So thank you for joining us. Yeah, if you missed the broadcast, definitely do the replay, because Amy had a lot of wonderful things to share. So, As always, Amy, it's always fun to talk to you, and just
Thank you.
your wealth of information. And I just I appreciate you taking the time to just share this unique approach, because I think it really is gonna. And I know parents are watching. They're like, oh, there are other ways to homeschool.
I just think of all the parents now who are dealing with COVID and suddenly being homeschoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really something that's been on my heart, is just reading these news stories about, especially the parents of kids with learning challenges, like, mm-hmm. like what we've got, or special
right.
needs, and just how challenging that is for them, especially as they've been, you know, their kid was in public school and now it's them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're on my heart, and
yeah.
I want them to know that, you know, they can do this.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible, but it's also really okay to get help.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And there are more people out there that are willing to help, you know, as people are looking for alternative means of schooling. There's a lot of different resources, and
mm-hmm.
we had a episode, and I think you wanted to mention this too, about outsourcing your homeschool about, I think it
yeah.
was last month. And so if you're looking at other options, or what other options can I have for outsourcing, watch that episode too, because
mm-hmm.
that'll
yeah that's a good one.
That'll help you. So, all right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us tonight, and we'll see you next week, same place, same time. And if you're going to join us for Mom's Night Out, I'll see you there soon. So thanks,
Amy.
Thanks,
Peggy. Thanks,
everybody.